Welcome back to Word on the Hills with me, Gwyn Sheltimer, my co-host Felicity Sidnell-Reed, and our guest this week, John Cosway, journalist and photographer. So John, the celebrity photos in your book were taken between 1959 and the early 70s. Why did you stop at that point, or do you have another collection you intend to make into a second book?
The reason I stopped, because I stopped drinking. That was in 1974, and I really couldn't do entertainment without drinking, so I decided to pack up and go back to Toronto sober, and I've been sober ever since.
Yeah, good for you. Yeah. And so did you do any other photography and further jobs at
not,
that you
not
could make into another collection?
Not for entertainment. I took pictures at the Toronto Sun, but I was a police reporter taking pictures of accidents and different pictures over the years, but I didn't do any further entertainment pictures.
Yeah, because we have the book in front of us here, and it's a thick book with lots and lots and lots of photos in it, and it's interesting to think that really those are all from, you know, what, 12 years, something like that?
1959 to 1973.
There you go. That's a lot of photos. So among the photographs in Brushes with Fame, do you have your own favorites?
I have several. Janis Joplin, she was a joy to photograph. I saw her at the Festival Express in Calgary in 1970, and I took quite a few shots of her, and we have 8 pictures in the book. Buddy Rich was another. He was said to be argumentative and disagreeable, but the night I dropped by, he said, take all the pictures you want. So it was up on stage in his face, about 20 pictures. Hmm. And I have some great shots of him.
And why was Janis one of your favorites?
She was one of my favorite artists, blues artists, and she's mesmerizing on stage. She never stops moving, and she was just a joy to photograph. I had a brief conversation with her after at an after party, but it was very brief.
Now, in the book, you identify 165 of the 190 photos. Mm-hmm. As yours, and most were not previously published. So why are you publishing them now?
It was a project I always wanted to do, but was occupied with other, matters. And I was approaching my 75th birthday, and I thought, well, now or never. And if I didn't, the negatives would probably go to relatives or get lost. So I quit the Wayback Times, and devoted 2 years to getting it all done. I looked for years for somebody to do my scans, like scan my negatives, but cost was prohibitive. Mm-hmm. So I bought a scanner and did it all myself, working well into the night every night.
It's a long process, isn't it?
Oh, it is.
Yes.
It is.
Yeah, my son is in the process of doing that with all the old family photo albums, and it takes forever. Mm-hmm. But it's worth it, because now they're around forever.
It is.
Yeah.
And I had lost track of who all I had in my negatives, so when I was doing it night after night, I was often surprised that I found people I didn't know I had pictures of. And then when people started to help me identify the people in my pictures, I learned there's a wealth of personalities in the pictures that I didn't recognize.
It's like discovering your life all over again.
It was. It was a diary of my drinking life.
So you've called the book Brushes with Fame. Mm-hmm. So when you reflect on your many brushes with fame, which ones bring back fond memories?
Well, number one, there are no pictures involved, but it was Terry Fox.
Oh.
I was driving to see my sister in Halifax when I saw him running in the rain in Quebec, and I stopped for a 50-minute interview and shook his hand, and I've always said that was my all-time favorite handshake. He was a tremendous young man.
He was.
And others are, like say, Janis, the Beatles. The Beatles were in their prime and all fresh-faced performers, and the Rolling Stones. And young little Stevie Wonder, I took a picture of him in Chatham Daily News when he was 13 years old.
Young little Stevie Wonder. Good heavens. It's hard to imagine these days, isn't it? Well, yeah. You certainly have had brushes with fame. Tell us about the Beatles. Where did you come across them?
I caught their show twice in the 1960s, 65 and 66. Although in 65, my camera didn't work, but I had 65 pictures. And they were at Maypeak Gardens, and they had a press conference in the hot stove lounge. And it was just swarming with people and fans. And I got my favorite shots of them there and mm-hmm. on stage.
And they're probably the envy of every young girl around. So would you perhaps read to us again another snippet from the book?
Oh, okay. This is chapter 20. And it's subtitled Temperamental Buddy Rich, All Smiles at Izzy's. Izzy Walters and his son Richard welcomed a stream of A1 celebrities to the Cave Supper Club and Izzy's Supper Club in Vancouver from the mid-1950s into the early 1970s. Drummer Buddy Rich was one of their favorite bookings at both clubs. Buddy, a Brooklyn-born child protege, was another performer said to be hot-headed and difficult, but on a spring night in 1970 when I dropped by Izzy's with a camera, he was most affable. Perhaps his 1959 heart attack made him more mellow. During brief chat, Izzy and Buddy were agreeable to my being up close and personal for photographs during the show. Izzy's was an intimate environment, allowing great rapport between performers and patrons. After about a dozen in-his-face photos of Buddy drumming and storytelling, the paying customers sitting at tables near the stage began to complain about my presence. While fine with Izzy and Buddy, I snapped one for the road, ordered a beer, and sat at a back table to watch a great drummer mesmerize his audience. It was a story to tell Lou Martin, my Macedonian drummer brother-in-law, shortly before his death. Richard Walters says Buddy was booked into the Cave and Izzy's Supper Club four times between 1967 and 1970. Buddy Rich was a fun person to be around, Richard, 87, said from his California home. He was very funny at times. Richard recalled a Saturday night during Buddy's second gig at Izzy's in 1968 when he bowed out to attend the Grammy Awards. Buddy had the great Louis Belson sit in on drums. Buddy was up for three Grammy nominations for his work in 1967. The world-famous drummer lost the first two Grammys to the Burt Bacharach Orchestra, Elfie, and third, as Richard puts it, to the great Duke Ellington, and he did not like to lose. Buddy was among the last of the big-name performers booked at Izzy's before Izzy Walters switched from 16 years of big-name acts to girl shows in 1971. Buddy died on April 2, 1987, at the UCLA Medical Center in Los Angeles following the removal of a malignant brain tumor. He was 69.
Well, thank you, John. We've been talking with John Cosway about his book Brushes with Fame, Photo Tripping with Music Legends. So, John, where can listeners buy the book?
Locally at Zap Records, Let's Talk Books, Nalonga McQuaid in Coburg, and Furby's and Port Hope at the Northumberland Arts Gallery and Dreamers Cafe in Port Hope.
Great. And if you'd like to connect with us here at the show, please send your comments, queries, or suggestions for whom we might interview in future programs to our website, wordonthehills.com, where all these programs are archived and available to listeners at any time and from anywhere. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you'll join us for another program next week, Sunday at 1 p.m., right here on Northumberland 89.7, Truly Local Radio.